If it rocks, it's 107.3 WAAF, and we interrupt Road Rage. Very rarely will I interrupt the middle of Road Rage. That was a grudge from Tool, but as promised, he came through. You've heard bad things about him, but he came through. He said he was going to call around 5:30, and lo and behold, 5:33 rolls around. He's not on Rockstar time anymore. The one and only Scott Stapp making his WAAF debut. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. Thanks for asking.
All right, here's the deal. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had the guys in Alter Bridge in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as much as I do that there are those many people who think of you as being a douchebag.
Well, tell it like it is, man.
I want to give you the opportunity, and we made this. Mistress Carrie, our midday person who's on vacation this week and couldn't be here to be part of this, wanted to give you the open forum to call WAAF at any time and to explain all of the bad things, the misconceptions, everything there is about Scott Stapp, because obviously, you know, the gossip mill has always rolled around. Scott, what is going on in your world right now? How are you doing personally, first of all?
I'm doing really good. I mean, you know, a lot of that negative press comes when you don't respond to rumors or innuendos, and you just kind of keep silent, and I kind of learned that over the last 3 years. And basically, it all started pretty much around when the car accident happened, and we had to, right when Weathered came out, we had to postpone the tour, and I just got into a whirlwind of health issues. I had pneumonia and stayed on the road, which was a mistake. And then when they were checking my lungs for the pneumonia, they thought they discovered two tumors behind my sternum.
Oh, no kidding.
And I almost, you know, I was 5 minutes from going into a biopsy at Cedars-Sinai, and then my management at the time talked me into just having it looked at every 3 months. And then to top that off, I had a callus on my vocal cords, and Dr. Sugarman in L.A. told me to cancel the tour. Well, needless to say, you know, I think because of some of the misconceptions prior to that, I felt like, oh, my God, man, you know, I don't want to let anybody down. I want to, you know, you're trying to be everything to everybody. And so what I did, I had to go on vocal restriction. I kind of holed up and was dealing with a lot of my personal problems alone. And I think that misconceptions happen when you don't address rumors and gossip. And basically all I did, man, was I went from the tour bus to the stage. And then, unfortunately, I made a bad decision in doing that and had to get prednisone shots pretty much before every show in order to sing. It's a steroidal anti-inflammatory, and it made me bloat up like a beach whale, and I was holding a lot of water, and basically it kind of put me into a depression.
Now let me ask you this, Scott. I don't mean to cut you off here, but mm-hmm. you also have been rumored to have had a bottle problem at the time too, which also causes bloating. Was that mixed in with that? Were you dealing
with? I think the deal was that people, they don't know why you are the way you are, and so rumors start, and it starts circulating.
So that, you know, never had a drinking problem?
No, I didn't have a drinking problem.
And did you have a drug problem?
No, I didn't. Well, if you want to call prednisone every day before, you know, you go on stage so you can sing, it's not something that gets you high. It's an anti-inflammatory, and dude, it's crazy. You take a shot, and you can't speak, and 6 hours later, your voice is completely back to normal, and then it wears off again. And it's a miracle drug if you only take it in a short period of time. But over time, it has a lot of negative side effects, and it kind of turned me into a very isolated, depressed person. And I think also I never really dealt with my divorce. And, you know, I think it all just came kind of crashing down, dude. And I think I basically just went into a hole and was looking for help from my friends, you know, like to come to me. And I think there was just a big communication problem. And that's it. And I think a lot of times friends and stuff who don't understand, you know, I've been looked at as the leader, the guy who didn't have the problems, the guy who was always there for them. And then when you get in that situation, sometimes people don't know what to do. And, you know, people start talking. It comes with fame, you know, the entourages and all the other, the competitive stuff that I didn't even know was going on around me.
Don't you think it's ironic that some of the stuff that has happened to you also happened to somebody who early on in your career was sort of a nemesis or an adversary? And I'm talking about, you know, the much publicized fighting that you and Fred Durst have gone through. over the years. Isn't it ironic that you're both regarded sometimes with that same sort of disdain?
Well, you know what I think happened? That was the whole start of my downward spiral, so to speak, and, you know, trying to be everything to everyone and not really making decisions based on what was best for my health and my son and, you know, having the whole take it for the team mentality. And because I, first of all, when Fred came out and said that stuff, I was shocked. I was like, why is he doing that to me? And it really put my mind in a place where I was worrying so much about what people thought about me. And I think when you live your life every day trying to make everyone else happy and not thinking about yourself, you know, it can kind of, it turns you into a depressed individual. And I just got isolated. You know, I felt like, well, you know, if I just stay on the bus or stay in the dressing room and I can make it through this show, I'll keep the band happy. And then if I'm not wandering around backstage and talking to people, then no one's going to say anything bad about me. And it kind of just turned into a no-win situation. And, you know, so I think that the people who really, the fans and people who have met me and I've spent a lot of time with, you know, I don't think they have these misconceptions. I think it's the casual fan who listens to the gossip. And, you know, I'm just glad that I'm healthy and that all that stuff is behind me. And I'm excited about the future and you know, working on my solo project and working on this passion soundtrack. And you know, just want to take it positive and take it at a pace that I can function in a healthy way, you know?
For the record, we're talking to Scott Stapp, who's now out on his own, former lead vocalist of Creed, giving him an opportunity to address some of the misconceptions that we've, you know, I mean, let's face it. Guilty as charged. I pile on just like everybody else. I've been just as guilty going, look, you know what, dude? You've canceled shows. You've done this. And obviously you're now telling me that you sort of isolated yourself and with no explanation that you thought that was probably the best way to deal with it.
Well, I was an athlete growing up. I played baseball, basketball, and football, and you just didn't talk about injuries. You know, I kind of felt like I was proving to my band and my management and my label that I was strong.
Yeah.
And that I cared and I was committed to playing and I would do whatever it took to not cancel those shows, because dude, it hurts, man. You feel terrible when you have to cancel a show and there's 20,000 people there and you know, no one in their right mind would do that unless there was a problem.
Can we address Chicago?
Oh yeah, you can talk about Chicago. Mm-hmm. I basically was exhausted, dude, and I performed the show, sang every song, every lyric. I just, as a lot of people know who've seen the show, I move around a lot and I'm very animated.
Yeah.
And at that show, dude, I stood at the mic or sat down on the drum riser because I was so exhausted and, you know, I was sick, but I didn't want to cancel. But at that point, I had done that so many times, I was just at a breaking point. You know, the prednisone shots and even tablets that they were giving me just quit working. And, you know, I was at a point where I was a nervous wreck, and I thought everybody hated me. And you know, when
Scott,
you feel like
Scott, at that point, everyone hated you. And I'm not. I mean, I'm just telling you. I told you that at that point, people were like, "Scott's." I don't know what's going on. I mean, and then to find out that was, you know, one of the last things people talked about at that
point.
You know what I mean? I mean, that was really the explosion or the implosion of Creed in the public.
Well, that wasn't. You know, we were committed and done, despite what anyone else tells you who feels like, you know, that you might think is credible. Even prior to Weathered, Mark and I had talked about doing a solo project, going our own way for a little while.
So the band was going to take time off after Weathered regardless?
Right.
Okay.
Regardless. And, so, you know, Mark,
do you think that Mark, this is a time off, or that there's ever a chance that you guys would ever do anything together again? Because Mark doesn't seem to think so.
Well, you know, Mark's hurt right now, and, you know, we've been through a lot of things, and I think that, you know, without being negative to those guys, I think that, you know, when there's a lack of communication and misunderstandings and, you know, some people, you know, it's hard to imagine, but some people just feel like the only way to break up something that was so good is to be negative about it. And in the same way Fred Durst was, you know, he kind of said some negative things, I think, for some publicity and to basically get kind of come into our circle because he felt jealous and resentful because of our success. I think the same thing could be a lot of why, you know, Mark and whomever else on that side is decided to do that, you know, which hurts me, and it's something that I don't understand, and just trying to deal with the best way that I know how, and move on.
Well, you can actually now take your place in the rightful side of all the other big rock breakups. I mean, the Van Halen Dave thing, the Roger Waters David Gilmour thing. I mean, now you're legendary. You officially are one of those guys.
Well, the thing is Mark and I are two very different people.
Sure.
And and we were best friends. And I've been there with him through many, many situations. I was, you know, the only friend he had in the world that picked up my little boy and flew to Chicago when his mom was ill and was set right by his side. And we've been through a lot of things. But with success comes, in certain people, an entourage,
yeah,
new friends,
yeah,
jealous people, people motivated by money. And sometimes they can cloud the waters. And for some reason, you know, I've learned in looking back that they feel like it's getting them closer to that person who's in the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they may love the band, but it ends up causing a lot of drama. And, you know, I think me and Mark were both at a place where we didn't know who to believe. And, you know, and the trust level that we had between us had been so just brutalized that, you know, we didn't trust each other anymore. And I think from my standpoint, from being able to step back from everything, you know, change management and kind of get a good foundation of people around me that I know care about me and don't look at me as a commodity and basically don't look at my health as, hey man, we need to make money so you patch it up and go, gave me a chance to step back and I don't really hold any ill will towards Mark or any, you know, I am hurt, but basically it's more along the lines of I understand, because the same thing that has made him feel this way was happening to me. And now that I've distanced myself from people that are like that, and including certain family members, man, I mean...
Your family is hurt because of this? Like, you're like family members,
no.
Immediate family of you, or...
No, I'm talking about family members who start drama.
Yeah.
You know, who say things like, those guys don't appreciate you, and no, and you're this, and you're that, and they feel like they're getting closer to you by doing that. It's just bandwagon stuff, and it can even affect families, and it happened to both of us.
So is there
any... like kids on a baseball team,
sure,
who have two guys who play the same position, and the one family kind of starts making little comments to the other family, you know, like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Sure.
It wasn't that extreme, but it was definitely happening, and I just feel like that, you know, once Mark gets a chance to really reflect and look back, I think he's going to realize that he and myself just, everything got clouded and the communication broke down and that happens in all relationships, you know, and there's also a time of healing and understanding as you grow up and get older and realize what's going on, and the door's always open for me.
I was just going to say, is there a chance for you and Mark to sit down away from all of the record company leeches and the radio guys that would love to be able to put this on the air live and have you guys just sort of talk it out? Is there a chance for you guys to actually sit down? Is that something, have you reached out, or are you willing to reach out?
Oh, I've always made that clear.
Yeah.
That, you know, I love Mark, and I've known him since I was 14 years old. And you know, we've been through a lot of stuff together. And it's just one of those things where, like I said, new people come into your life and it gets complicated. And, you know, I think that I didn't really explain like I should have why I went to Maui for a year. And, you know, I have a little boy and I'm a single father. His mother's not involved in his life. And I was gone a lot and he started school. And, you know, it's a not real great conducive situation to be in a rock band and be a single father, but I was committed to doing it. And, you know, I don't think I really explained to Mark why I took off and went to Maui. I needed to get away and think about what was going on and spend time with my son and just try to figure out, try to get comfortable in my own skin. And I think I expressed every single feeling that I had about what was going on in my life on the Weathered album. You know, all my fears, everything.
By the way, and I make no bones about it, I was never really a Creed fan. But Weathered was a brilliant record. I mean, I had to sit back and go, oh, Jesus, they did it. You know what I mean? I was one of those guys, and everybody knows, I was one of those guys that's like, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think, because you sold 25 million records, so unless one guy's got 25 million copies in his basement, I'm wrong. You know what I mean? But the Weathered album was, I thought, a masterpiece for you guys. And if you were going to go out, that was the one to go out on.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about as well, that the level of our success and how we had so many positive accomplishments and had been so well, if we were going to take a break or if I was going to retire, because I was having a hard time.
Retire?
Yeah, I was retire from that, you know, kind of get behind the scenes and get into just writing songs for other people and,
oh, yeah, there's big
and
money
get out of the limelight, you know, because I really was put with a real tough decision, and it basically came down to, aside from my health and what was going on with that, I didn't want my son to feel abandoned. And, you know, if I was going to have to choose being on the road 280 days a year and not being a part of my son's life, which was a situation that was basically put in front of me, I couldn't choose that. You know, I want to be a part of my son's life, and I want to just tour in the summers when he's out of school. I want to be a dad because I've got to make up the difference of him not having a mother in his life. And, you know, I'm being very candid with you about my life right now, but, you know, I think that's something that when Mark has a family eventually and children, that I think he'll understand better. I think he understands that, but, you know, that, you know, mixed in with just a basic, you know, what I think was going on, and I can be frank about this too.
Sure.
After the car wreck, a lot of things started happening to me physically, and we were having, and some days my voice would just go out, I guess, because I would be doing interviews all day, and I found out later that that's just as much work on your voice as singing.
Sure.
And, you know, then, you know, by 7 o'clock, my voice was gone and I didn't know that I had a nodule on my vocal cord. And so I can totally see why when one thing just kept happening after another, as far as my health, Mark and whomever starting to think, okay, this guy's crying wolf. He's being some kind of prima donna who just, whenever he doesn't feel like it, he's just not going to go deal with his fans and play a show. And that's because I never was vocal about what was going on with me. There was all this stuff going on behind the scenes. You know, I had a traveling nurse with me to monitor my blood pressure and other problems because of the medication that they had me on. I think they were afraid that, you know, I could have a heart attack or something. You know, I don't know why exactly they were out there aside from, you know, monitoring the tumors behind my sternum and just giving me the prednisone stuff. And I can totally see, you know, why there could be that misconception. I think that Mark's feelings got hurt because I holed up and basically I got into a depressive state of mind and didn't reach out. You know, and some people are the types of people who, especially men, who think it's, you know, maybe kind of sissy or kind of weird to kind of go have a talk and express your feelings to your buddy. And
Scott, do you need a hug?
I did, man. I really did, dude. You know, if you would have asked me that in 2001 and 2002, I would have accepted. And I can always use a hug, but I did, man. I felt alone, and I was depressed, and my body was just all messed up, and that the medication was making me a nervous wreck. And I was also worried about, you know, oh, my God, do I have cancer? And, you know, thank God that I don't. But I was really in a bad place and felt like that, hey, I'm going to take one for the team, and this is going to prove to these guys how much I care about this band, and that this stuff's out of my control. And you know, and basically, I think Mark just isn't the type of guy who comes easy to another guy and expresses his feelings. And normally, I had been the catalyst for any types of those discussions, and my character kind of and personality kind of changed because at that point in time, you know, as I said on the Weathered album, Who's Got My Back? And, you know, I think I went into it totally, like I said a million times, I was depressed and wanting someone to come to me. And, you know, and it didn't happen. And during that time when we were kind of isolated, you know, I think Mark was, like I said, really hurt that, you know, we weren't spending any time outside of just on stage hanging out, and then the rumors and gossip happen, and you start hearing things from people around you, like, you know, he thinks he's better than you, and all this dumb stuff that, you know, I basically ran and hid from, but it was still going on with those guys. And you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we're young guys, and success and fame has an impact on people in very dramatic ways. And, you know, a song that's on my solo record that I think is going to describe my feelings about that effect is called Ego Machine, and that may be the title of my record. That's my working title.
Oh, that'll be nice. That'll go over real good. People, you know, people will go, oh, here he goes.
No.
You know what, though? I got to admit.
It's just, you know, and it's just, you know, I think success and money and fame, you know, it brings out character qualities and traits that are either latent or that people just don't feel. I think it empowers certain individuals, and then you start believing all the hype, and, you know, you actually start thinking that you are something special, you are something better or whatnot, and people who aren't secure in themselves and confident before they go in have this false sense of security and confidence because of their success and fame.
I think when it's all said and done, Scott, you're a guy with some talent who got lucky and had, you know, a nice run with everybody, and it went the wrong way. And I got to admit, it took a lot of balls for you to make this call today.
And oh, dude,
I think it's cool that you at least, you know, you answered just about every question. You weren't negative about it. That's awesome. You know,
well,
my hat's off.
I mean, if you look back, that's the way I've always handled things. And, you know, I don't want to get into the drama, and I think that along with that success and fame, you know, as a lot of people know, Creed was either loved or hated.
Mm-hmm.
There was no middle ground.
Nope.
And so the bottom line is people, I think, want to believe negative things about artists or celebrities or whatever category you want to throw whatever I've accomplished with the band into. And, you know, I mean, I hear them all the time about other artists, and then I meet the artist, and they're not anything like I had been told they were. And I think it's a part of our culture. We love to build people up and tear them down, and then, you know, also we make mistakes. We're human, man. You know, I was flipping burgers 8 years ago, and I'm just like everybody else. And, you know, and I had some things, and I kept them private. And, dude, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to share all this stuff, but I was advised and told not to. And I understand why now, because I think it would make certain individuals look like monsters for not care enough about me to take me off the road and get me the help I needed at the time.
So why don't we do this then? Why don't we let the past be the past, because you can't change it. You know what I mean?
Exactly, brother.
I don't think you can change anything that's been said or done or written about you and move forward. Now, Ego Machine is the working title, and a ballsy title, by the way, for a new CD. I actually have the new Scott Stapp single here in front of me called Relearn Love. And I want to play it because I've been told that that it's not going to be something that you're going to hear on a lot of rock radio stations.
Exactly. It's for the passion of the Christ, and my record company just kind of threw it out there, and whoever wanted to play it. But I think they're kind of waiting to really put out my records and stuff for when my album's done. And, you know, I think this song kind of defines where I was for the last 2 years. You know, I felt like I just didn't have anything left to give, and I needed some kind of change inside of me. You know, I felt like for a while there when they were, every time I'd have to go in and get an MRI or a CAT scan on my chest, the way that I tried to deal with that shock was, well, this heart's dried up, so I guess God's letting me grow a new one. And I know that's kind of weird, but those were the thoughts that were going on in my head. And then, you know, I kind of had a recommitment to my faith personally, and because I was on my back. And I think a lot of people who are on their back only have one way to look, and that's up. And, you know, and that's where I got to. And so this song was just basically about me just wanting to kind of get rid of this weathered, you know, used up heart and start over without expecting anything. Because I feel like love is giving without expecting anything in return. And even if you expected just what you give back, that's too much. And you're going to get let down time and time again. And, you know, I'm one of those kind of guys that kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. And you know, I'll be the first to admit that I get sensitive. I get my feelings hurt. And I have a hard time letting, you know, statements that people say that I don't understand or now that I've stepped back, I do understand, not letting them bounce off. You know, you can hear 100,000 positive things and one negative thing, and then it's kind of my nature to focus on the negative. And, you know, so that's something that I'm learning to deal with. I mean, everyone, I think, deals with being thrust into the public eye differently. And you know, I did the best that I could for as long as I could, and then finally it caught up with me. And, you know, I was at the point where I didn't know if I wanted to do this because I just didn't like, you know, money doesn't make you happy. Fame doesn't make you happy. Relationships make you happy. And
you know what David Lee Roth once said, Scott? Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy you a big-ass yacht to pull up alongside it.
Yeah, it can buy you a lot of nice,
for you.
It can buy you a lot of nice things, but nice things don't make you happy either. And, you know, they can be a temporary solution, but, you know, when your heart's hard and calloused and hurting, you know, you can't buy anything. That you can't buy a new heart. And so I prayed for one, and you know, and it happened, and I feel like I'm in a good place now, and you know, like I've always done, I just express where I'm at through my music. And I think a lot of people, if they wanted to know what was going on, if they so cared, which I doubt, but if they wanted to know what was going on in my head for the last 8 years, just read the lyrics, because I spill it out on all my records.
So why don't we play the new one then?
All right, brother.
We'll wrap it up. Scott, you've been great. I think, like I said, it took a lot of balls to make this phone call. You didn't shy away from anything. I'm not going to say guilty, but I'm absolutely one of those guys that spearheads. If you don't hear from somebody, you're guilty by denial or by silence.
Well, that's what you're right. That's what happened to me, and I'm learning that. But, you know, man, the way I look at it now is I know the truth, and, you know, I know what was going on. And so despite what anybody says and whatever their motivations are, I can go to sleep at night. I can look at my son in the eyes and know that I tell the truth, and I've been an honest man, and I've done the best that I could with what I've been given. And so, you know, for you to say, you know, it took some balls to call, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Sure, of course not. What do you care what I think?
No, well, dude, you know, and hey, listen, in the past, that I did, and I kind of felt like I was carrying the weight of the world on my back, and that's just too much. And
well, then let it go.
You know, well,
just,
I have, brother.
take a deep breath and enjoy the life that you have.
I am, man, and it's awesome. You know, my son's almost 6 years old now, and you know, we spent the last 2 years every day together, and it, you know, it was a much needed time off for me to kind of reconnect with a lot of different things in my life and my family, and you know, and get a firm and solid foundation around me. And it's been great, man, and I appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for your honesty and candor, too, because, you know, I didn't even really know it was like that, to be honest with you, Boston.
No, you know, it's not necessarily a Boston thing. It's a people thing. You know, again, you talked about us. We like to build people up and then tear them down. Well, that's the first thing. When you're at the top of the mountain, everybody's going to take shots at you. And if you don't respond, sometimes they pile on. They get piled on and piled on.
Right.
And you've done and said some stuff over the years that have caused people to go, oh Christ, you know. Like, and I don't mean that to be blasphemous to your
faith.
Well,
you got to hold on. You got to remember
the jumping off of the cliff. You know what I mean, with the arms akimbo. That's, you know, some people go, oh, he's got a messiah complex.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it is. It is what it is.
You know, and you know, I didn't even think about that because I was kind of instructed to do that.
Well, it's all good, man.
But, you know, it's, you live and learn, and I feel like, you know, if I'm blessed enough to get another run at this, you know, I can learn from what I did, and I don't think that I will ever accomplish or even want to accomplish what me and Mark and Scott and Brian accomplished as a team and as friends. And, you know, I just want to... A big thing for me that I had to deal with was it started to feel like work. And this was something I loved. This was my hobby. This was my escape. And I just needed to reconnect with that. And I know that Mark and Scott and Brian all felt the same way. And, you know, unfortunately, usually in bands, the singer takes the brunt of the good and the brunt of the bad. and, you know, gets blamed for a lot of things. And then also, I think a lot of, I know I didn't understand this until it happened to me, you can't believe anything you read and half of what you see. And my dad told me that since I was a kid. And, you know, and just like in the New York Times, they'll have a huge story, and then when they find out that it's wrong, they don't print the headline. They put it in the back of the newspaper in, like, fine print. And
well, you just said you had a chance to step up on the headline today and at least talk to six or seven people who are still listening.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
It's all good, man. I appreciate you taking the time out. I want to play the new song for you.
Yeah, brother.
And then I have to play some commercials or I'll get fired.
Okay, man.
And then you and I will be flipping burgers together somewhere or something. You know what I mean?
Hey, dude, if it doesn't work out, you know, I'll either cut grass or flip burgers.
All right, man. That's all good. Scott, thanks for taking time out for WAAF.
Hey, no problem, Paul. You guys rock, man.
Can you hang on 1 second?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, hang on. I got somebody who needs to say hi to you, so hang on the phone. All right, man. Scott Stapp taking some time out to address everything, and badass of him to do so. Brand new music from him is called Relearn Love. Here it is for maybe the only time, because his record company doesn't want it played on rock radio. It's called Relearn Love. Brand new Scott Stapp on WAAF.